Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and this is Recovery Radio. It's all about recovering from the betrayal. And you are probably well aware of the fact that the only organization that allows partners to feel safe and to get the guidance that he or she needs to get over sexual betrayal, to work through it, to manage it, or recover from sexual betrayal. And I really mean all four of those words because different people experience it differently and do better with it. Well, the bottom line is that AppSats, the organization that trains partner-sensitive clinicians and coaches, knows what you need to make a difference in your life, to help you to feel safe in an unsafe situation. And we're going to be doing a lot of things this year that is going to promote more opportunities for you all to get education, to participate in workshops, to go to webinars right out of the comfort of your own home. And so we've got lots of exciting things coming up. And I so appreciate the fact that, you know, what I know to be true is you all want this information. You know, you're tired of feeling duped. You're tired of wondering if you can get through this or not. It's the most devastating experience in the world to have your partner cheat on you multiple times, betray you with compulsivity that they can't stop. Now, many of you know I'm a CSAT, I'm a certified sex addiction therapist, and what I experience is that the people I work with, sex addicts that I work with, they get better, they want help, and they want to help their partners heal. So, that's the good news, that oftentimes when a sex addict sees how badly he or she has devastated you, it turns their life around, and it can then turn yours around. And we work from a premise at AppSats that when an addict, a sex addict, really helps the partner to heal and is willing to see incongruities in their behavior, then when they're willing to do the hard stuff to make you feel safe, then he or she really does help you heal. And when that occurs, the good news is it helps him or her heal. So you get this, it's auto-exacerbating in a good way. You know, he's devastated you and ruined your life and made you feel unsafe and unsure of yourself. He figures it out. He gets clean himself. He practices good recovery tools. He gets 100% honest. That's that disclosure we were talking about in the intro. And then together you can work on some early couples recovery skills so that you can determine what you need to feel safe. And then from there, what transpires is that you can work on the mourning, the grieving, the loss that you've experienced, what you had, what you thought you had. And then you can move into restoration. Restoration of yourself and figuring out who you are and what you need. Restoration of the relationship, if you so desire. If you say, I do want to stay with this man or woman. And then restoration of the things that betrayed you along in the process. Now, they may have betrayed you, or you may have felt betrayed. Regardless, it matters not. The important part is that you feel better. And who or what are some of those things? Well, we've talked about it here on the show. You know, when you have been betrayed by the person you love, oftentimes it makes you wonder, where is my God? How could God have let this happen to me? So you may feel betrayed by God. Or if you were working with a therapist and he or she didn't know much about partner betrayal, you may say to yourself, what the heck happened to my therapist? Why couldn't she have kept me on the straight and narrow? Why did she in some ways blame me by asking me questions about how much sex did I have or how much attention did I show him? Questions that ultimately make you feel at fault even if the therapist didn't mean to do it. Maybe it's your friends, your communities, your churches, your family that has betrayed you. You know, even a small question like, well, why do you think he did that? What was going on in your marriage? What weren't you giving him? You know, that can make you feel at fault for this. And although in a marriage where there's marriage difficulties, it always takes two people. What I also know to be true, and what we teach at APSATS, is your husband or wife's sex addiction is never your fault. Because sex addiction is compulsive. Is something that they can't control. It's something that they hid from you, and you didn't know. So that in and of itself is not ever your fault. And we really do want you to know that. Now, today, I'm going to be really excited to be introducing Karen. And Karen is a woman who, too, had been betrayed. And she decided, after a long period of time of reconciliation with her husband, I mean, they were separated, all sorts of things. She didn't think it was going to work, but she kept this ever, this really strong sense of, I'm going to let God work on this for me. And as the relationship got stronger, and together they began to heal, separately they began to heal, she also decided to become a coach and help other partners heal. And she really believes, as do I, that one of the best ways to heal is to utilize groups. And the wonderful thing about groups is that groups afford you an opportunity to work with other partners and perhaps professionals, paraprofessionals, whatever, depending on what group you're actually doing. It allows you to heal because of the work that the women are doing in group, or it allows you to join an online group in case you don't have that access right there in your own hometown. I mean, it's just an amazing opportunity to get healthy and to do it a way that works for you. And that's what life's all about. So we're going to be talking to Karen and three other partners that actually have also participated in groups. And I can't wait for you to hear Karen's story, as well as the other women. So I very much am excited for her to share the value of groups. I remember when I first started as a CSAT, as a sex addiction therapist, I said to Patrick Carnes, the guru of sexual addiction, I said, if you could advise me to do one thing in my practice, what would it be? And he said, start a group for sex addicts. And I said, oh, Patrick, do you think that would be a problem that I'm going to be female starting a group? And he said, absolutely not. And I went home and I put that thing together. I love groups, so that was no problem, although I had some misconceptions about men in group. I put together a group. I've been running a group since 2007, and it is by far one of my favorite times of the week because of the energy and synergy of the group. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Karen on so she can talk a little bit about herself and also really share what she believes about groups. And as the partners join us, I'll include them in on the conversation. So, Karen, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you?
Hi, Carol. I'm doing really good, and I'm so happy to be here. It's been a while. I miss you.
It has been a while, and I have so appreciated the fact that you are always willing to support partners in this journey of betrayal recovery, because partners can't get enough support. So would you do me a favor and just share a little bit about your story before your fellow friends and partners come on the line? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of years to put in a couple minutes. But let's see. Well, met my husband at 15, 19. We fell madly in love. You know, went on to have babies. Lots of them, six of them. I was living my dream and in my dream home even, and serving in a church and ministry and all of that. And, you know, there were bumps along the road, but I didn't see it all to what it really was, and some maybe some denial. And eventually my husband went down a really, really, really rough road, and I was in that place of trying to fix and desperate to make it better for him and us and fight for our marriage. And I couldn't do anything. To stop him, he ended up walking out on me and our six kids around 26 years of marriage, and just left me on Mother's Day weekend, which completely shattered my world, my life. And I was left there to face everybody in the community, and we were well known in the community and the church and business and all of that. And my world was rocked, and I had nobody and no help, but I did have God. And it was just the hardest time and season of my life. But at the same time, as I look back now, it was actually, you know, it was a beautiful journey, even though it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And I went from no support, no help. You know, the church didn't know what to do with me, so there was some hurt there. And then we had gone to a therapist, and that was traumatizing for me. She would call me out when I was crying and tell me that I was manipulating things before he had left. And all that to sum up that eventually he was out of the house for a couple of years, and I had found an amazing ABSATS therapist, but at the time I didn't know what that was. But she happened to be a trauma therapist, and she, before my husband ever came back, I got well and healing and learned what healthy boundaries were and all of that, and found my worth and my value. And then when my husband did was willing at that point to meet me at counseling. I had those healthy boundaries, which played a huge role in my growth and using my voice and my needs and things like that. And so that's why I'm so passionate about that growth, because that was so important for me. And then luckily I didn't have him move back in because I had those healthy boundaries in place. And for that whole year, he had continued to lie in the counseling office to me and to the counselor. And eventually he finally ended up going to Every Man's Battle workshops, which we've talked about from New Life Ministries. And he came home and I got the big bomb disclosure, you know, that he had been unfaithful for multiple years. And then as we started to dig deeper, you know, he had a porn addiction for many years and lust, and there were lots of things over the 28 years at that point marriage that I hadn't seen. You know, and I knew he had a very traumatic childhood, and although that gives no excuse to his behaviors and choices, it did play a big role, and it played a big role in our healing journey together, because I was broken, he was broken, and together we learned to get vulnerable, and he learned that empathy piece and how to hear my heart, and I could have empathy for him, and he trusted me with his wounded heart after having five alcoholic fathers and lots of abuse and things. And so together, and our faith in God first and foremost, and then we did also get support, and we had, like I said, an amazing abstinence counselor, plus we found groups at that point to attend, and in him being recovery and myself in recovery. Yeah.
And I want to know, obviously, you found groups, and that really made a difference. And by the way, I've got the other three ladies on the line now, too. I want to ask you, Karen, what has it been like to facilitate groups, and why do you think they are so important in a partner's healing?
I mean, I've been reflecting about this today, and I mean, I could cry over just the fact that these three beautiful, amazing, brave women are on the call with me, because it's just been amazing to see how these groups, like I had no idea, you know, through all the training and everything, ABSATs and coach training, all of that. But it's not until you start to facilitate a group, and I'm sure you can relate, Carol, but you start to see this beautiful thing happen. It's this place where, first of all, like me, I felt so alone. I had nobody. And then now you're put in this group, and at first it might feel awkward, but it doesn't take long. You start to feel safe. You start to feel validated and heard and supported, understood, and they get it. They understand. And a lot of times, I think you said earlier before I got on, that sometimes our own churches and therapists and family, they aren't safe. They can even be toxic. And so we have to find and navigate through to find that safety. And that's what I have seen and just been in awe of with these women, and how they've come together and shared and got vulnerable and just healing together. And I honestly take it as a blessing. Like, I facilitate it, but I, you know, I'm still a partner too. So we're like in it together, and it's this beautiful place where our brokenness, there's a lot of pain, but there's like this beautiful safety, and there's this beautiful redemption that I have personally watched. I mean, I have so many stories of these women that just blow me away, and that, you know, they're dreaming new visions now. They are, you know, at that post-traumatic growth place, and it's like just amazing. But even the journey along the way, as hard as it is, it's just something real, you know, authentic, and bonds are made, and it's just a safe place to start discovering and learn and grow and become more resilient.
Absolutely. I really, really agree with that. And I hope that our partners that are out there listening, who may never have experienced a group, I can hear in your voice that, yes, you facilitate one, but you're a partner yourself, so you are able to see it from both sides. I was going to ask Anne, tell our listening audience a little bit about what you get out of groups.
It's basically the same thing that Karen had mentioned. You know, in the beginning, recovery is just so rough. I mean, I felt so alone. I was isolated. I even isolated myself from family and friends because there's no way anybody could possibly understand this pain that we go through. There's a lot of shame attached to it as well. So our group just provides so much comfort and support, guidance. There's just so much strength, and there's prayer that everyone participates in, and just the hearts of these women is just amazing. I went from alone in my mess to just feeling empowered to use my voice to discuss, you know, things that I could not possibly discuss with anybody else. I acquired healthy coping skills. I learned how to properly use my boundaries. You know, the weekly calls are great, but we also do daily support through the GroupMe application.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, the listeners that you have, I'm so honored to be here, actually. I'm a huge fan of you. Thank you for having us. And I'm
absolutely
nervous. But I just wanted to say to the partners listening, you know, technology, it may have contributed to the escalation of our husband's sex addiction, but it can also be used in a positive way for real connection, for support, and to have a safe place. So
yes.
I'm so thankful
that
for that.
100%, yeah, absolutely. I 100% endorse that because clearly there are so many partners that are isolated. There aren't any other forms of group out there. There aren't specialists that are sex addiction specialists or APSAT specialists. And so the group may be all you have. Now, I wanted to ask Brittany. Brittany, what do you get out of groups?
Well, for me, you know, it's kind of evolved from the beginning of my relationship with Karen, and I started out living in the house with my husband, and then over the course of about 2 years, I'm now at the tail end of getting a divorce. So at the beginning, the group was a place where, you know, I would go to vent, and we would kind of look at each other's situations and be able to say, oh, well, that's abuse, and we just didn't even know that how to put the words to it and try to identify, like, what was going on, because it's just such a roller coaster of not knowing, you know, how you can change it and realizing, oh, you know, some of this stuff is not on you and you're not responsible for other people's behaviors. And so we were kind of just able to take a venting approach and turn it into learning about gaslighting and learning about abuse and recognizing, okay, now what do I do with that? So, you know, over the course of these 2 years and, you know, getting out of that and, you know, moving through the divorce process and just lots of healing going on with, you know, these other women that we were in this group with. And then now I'm in a new group with Karen that is a bunch of women going through divorce or who are separated. So it's interesting to see, like, where everybody is at their different points of their journey, and being able to help when I can and getting support from them is just invaluable.
Yeah, I'm
it's
so glad you brought that
see.
Up because obviously groups can be very generalized, and maybe the only commonality is partner betrayal, or what you just mentioned, that there is a group for women that are either separated or getting a divorce because of sexual betrayal, and they have a whole special group or classification of issues that they're going to be dealing with that are added on to the typical issues that partners deal. Before I check in with Lisa, Karen, I'm going to ask you, what made you decide to work in that niche with women who have experienced sexual betrayal and have decided to separate or divorce?
Well, it just kind of evolved. I mean, that's what was crazy. I wasn't, you know, looking for that. It's just been through this experience in these last few years and walking, you know, through these journeys with all these other women that it started to, unfortunately, there started to be more walking through separation and divorce. And of course, you know, the more women, then the more, you know, we're going to get some of that, right? And all of these women, I mean, every single one, they fought for their marriages. They fought for their family. They didn't choose this. They didn't want the divorce, right? But then they were left with you know, no other choice. And they had been built up enough in their strength and healing that's another beautiful part of it is that they were like, they knew what had to happen, you know what I mean? Or what was next, or had those next steps. And so I started to realize that I had kind of, there was like, you know, went from a couple to five to eight to like 12. So then it, you know, it actually was a God thing. Honestly, it was one day and I decided to bring them all together in a group me chat. And I just shared with each of them, and because I was hearing their stories, and they were sounding so similar with what they were dealing with legally and things like that. And so I just thought, hey, why don't we get together? And, you know, and then it kind of just organically formed. And again, I have just been amazed because the wisdom, I mean, even today that Brittany shared with someone who just, you know, was divorced 2 weeks ago, right? And another young mom, Brittany is a young mom, and like to have her pour into this person who's broken beyond, you know, repair at this point in her heart. That's what she feels, right? And then to have Brittany, who's not even that far ahead, right, but just that many steps ahead in her healing journey, that she is encouraging her with, like, just beautiful, you know, scripture to, you know, allowing her to share her hurt, but also encouraging her, like, you know, with bringing some truth and just you know, new perspectives and exploring new options of looking at things, just, and received by the other gal so well too. And it's just been, yeah, so it wasn't something I went looking for, but it just kind of evolved organically, as well as the pastor's wives group that I've been facilitating as well. And it just sort of, you know, was, I believe it felt like it was put on my heart with God to see that these unique stories, that they that there could be a unique space for them, particularly, and especially like with pastors' wives, they have a whole another, you know, another burden right there with some, you know, with being in the church and stuff. So it's just been something that's just been a blessing to me, but, you know, as something I see needed as well.
So are you saying, Karen, are you saying that you have obviously this group going, and they all have separation and divorce in their commonality, but you also run a pastor's wife's group for sexual betrayal?
Yes. And that this was my first the last 3 months, and it has been a real learning journey for me, and to see the pressure. I mean, you know, the number one thing I asked them was, what is, you know, what is the hardest part about being a pastor's wife and a, you know, a partner? And I mean, hypocrite. They feel like a hypocrite, right? Because they, some of these, you know, men are running in the church, getting up on Sunday, and yet they're dealing with addictions. And so they're, you know, it's just there's so many complicated, you know, issues. But it was, again, another learning place for me, but a beautiful place to see these women come together and encourage each other in a place that's, because they even have extra, you know, for the, as far as safety for, you know, exposure and confidentiality. And so for them to have a place, we didn't use last names. We didn't ask where. And that's actually what helped me decide this one day was someone had asked in front of me, one of the pastor's wives, so where do you live? What's your last name? What does your husband do? And we looked at each other, and I knew in her heart that was scary for her because she wasn't ready to disclose that. And you know, and the person who asked didn't realize. But that being said, it just sort of showed me, gosh, they need more safety than and more confidentiality, you know. And so, yep, it's been really, really pretty, you know, just a learning experience. And just to see the struggles in the church.
Well, you know, again, what a wonderful niche of women to work with. And am I assuming that Brittany, Lisa, and Anne all are in one partner's group? They all share that?
No. No, Brittany's in the different group.
Got it. Okay. So, because I want to ask Anne a question, but before I do want to say to you that it's my experience that partners that decide to get divorced, they either realize that they can't heal and live with the addict, and that may be an addict who's in good recovery, but there may be so much trauma and wounding that's occurred that they themselves aren't able to get over things until they separate and disengage from their husband. That's one type of partner. And then we've got
I'd love Brittany to share what she what happened with her.
Yeah.
She, you know, if you're able to talk to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with me, I have a young daughter, and as she got to be a little bit older, she was about one whenever things really started getting bad, and I realized we were kind of doing like an in-home separation without even really labeling it as that. And I just realized it was beginning to be more and more unhealthy, and she was starting to see an unhealthy relationship as her model of home and family and mom and dad and marriage. And that through her eyes, and knowing that I wanted her to have a healthy relationship one day, that's really what pushed me to start placing those boundaries and holding to them. You know, you can place the boundaries, but the hard part comes whenever your heart just tugs and wants so badly for things to go one way, and you realize that you don't have that control anymore, and you just can't allow that in your daughter's life or in your kid's life or your life. You start to stand up for yourself and really hold those boundaries. So it was really through her and not wanting that to be a toxic environment for her growing up that is what really started the ball rolling. And then it just kind of, he's the one that ended up filing for divorce, so he kind of almost took it out of my hands in a way, and I feel like that was God, you know, really stepping in and saying, okay, this is really not up to you anymore, and, you know, he's going to have to make his choices and make his own decisions in life. But for me, it was about protecting her and, you know, getting out of an abusive home.
Well, and you know, you bring up an issue that all partners face, and that clearly is, even if it's not toxic, even if mom and dad are doing their absolute best to present a normal front, this is so wounding, and there's so much collateral damage. And so many partners say, I think I'm pulling it off. I don't think the kids know. But I know in my heart, and part of me says, could this relationship have been a lot better had this not occurred? Which, of course, the answer is yes. And therefore, what am I teaching my kids about relationships in general, let alone the families that are experiencing this, where there are definitely more conflict. There's definitely more fighting. There's definitely less affection. It's hard to be affectionate when somebody's betrayed you. And they go, gosh, my kids are seeing two people that are struggling, that love each other, but aren't making it very well. And boy, do I want to teach my kids this. So I can really appreciate your situation. And it was interesting because at first, as Karen was talking about this, she made it sound like that might have happened to you where it got taken out of your hands, but you were really thinking about this a lot. Now, I want to check in for a second with Anne, because, Anne, this is not your issue, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of it.
Okay.
I'm barely learning how to effectively, and by effective I mean like where I'm feeling safe to use boundaries. And at first, you know, it was really, really, really hard. I got a lot of resistance from my husband when I started implementing boundaries. And I don't know how I could have gotten through it if it wasn't for Karen and my group, because it is so exhausting to deal with the betrayal and everything. But then once you start doing boundary work, that can really take a toll when you're already down, when you're already at a very low point. It starts to mess with your brain. Like, you want to say, okay, never mind, forget the boundaries, let's just have peace, right? But then you know deep down inside that it's not a healthy thing at all. And I have two kids of my own. I have two daughters. So I'm learning boundaries and I'm starting to teach them, you know, age-appropriate boundaries from all of this. So,
yeah. And let's not forget that we're talking betrayal trauma, right? I mean, you know, they're coming out of trauma. They're, you know, learning to ground themselves. Sometimes it's just survival and you know, getting through the day. So then it's like on top of that, you know, learning their voice and the boundaries. And, you know, it's just so overwhelming. And I just want to make sure, Carol, you have Lisa on the line too, right?
Yes, and I was going to ask Lisa, okay. Were boundaries difficult for you?
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be on here, and if I start coughing, I'll mute myself. You can be done with me. But boundaries, I had done some work with boundaries in the past, and so I thought that I had good boundaries in place. Having this discovery that happened just April of last year, I'm within the first year of recovery as a partner, caused me to reexamine my boundaries and to realize that, you know, I had to rewrite some of them, and I had to put in place boundaries that I never dreamed I would need. And that has happened now. And I'm in a position where, because I have and I know that there are people who listen to you who are in all different situations. I happen to be in one of those situations where my husband is willing to do the work, and he's doing everything that anyone tells him, you have to do this to make, you know, to recover from this addiction, to help heal your own heart and to help your wife's heart to heal. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are.
Can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, so I was new to the town that I live in. I started looking online for resources. I found CSAT. I didn't know what APSATs was until I started, you know, really looking. There's no one in the town that I live in, you know, with any of these, any of the real tools in their toolbox to help us. I went to my church, and they said the only couples that we know who have dealt with infidelity are now divorced. And that was eye-opening to the leadership of the church that I was in. And so I found Karen's online group and joined it thinking, well, I'm different from all of them. You know, they're not going to understand me. I'm not going to understand them. And even though we are in very different places in our journeys, I mean, some of them have dealt with the knowledge of the infidelity for a longer time than I have. Some of them still have children at home, although mine are grown. We have all been brought together by our, not just our shared pain, but our shared hope. And so the hope that I have for myself, I try to, you know, to help lift them up with that hope as well. And this group has brought me from a place of where all I could do each day was to say, you don't have to decide that today, to a place where I've gathered resources, and I have a tribe, and I can turn to that tribe when I'm down or when I have something to offer them that I think will help to support them.
Lisa's been amazing. I was going to ask if she could share. She actually went through a whole therapeutic disclosure, polygraph, all of that, but I was going to ask if she could share about just that support that you felt you got, Lisa, from the group. Before she went.
Yeah. One really special moment with the group was when my husband and I had our therapeutic disclosure. We had the good fortune to have Jake Porter. I'm going to give him a shout out because I love him.
Yes.
And
I love Jake too.
The women in our group wrote letters of encouragement and sent them to Karen. They were forwarded to me as one document the night before the disclosure. And I just wrapped those letters around me like the biggest, warmest hug. They all poured their hearts into their letters and, you know, expressing to me what they knew about me, what they, you know, kind of words of comfort and support and strength. And I felt their embrace at one of the most challenging times of my life. People I've known for years weren't able to give me that. And I got that from this group. And I'm so grateful for
it. Well, and it's so interesting that you brought up initially that you were afraid that in the group they wouldn't be enough like you, because truly in group therapy, in group support, there's two commonalities that occur. You either go in going, whoa, these women have way worse problems than I do, I don't fit. Or you do the opposite. You say, whoa, I have the worst problem here, and they're never going to be able to help me. And so for you to have admitted, yeah, I kind of wondered, is this group really going to fit me? And they gave you so many great gifts and continue to do that, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's no way that you can just, you can't put it all in a can and say, this is what groups do. You know, it's just when you're part of it and everyone wants to contribute, then this is what comes out of it. And ours has been so special in that way.
Oh, I believe that. Now, I just want to remind our listening audiences, we're talking about online and regular groups, face-to-face, and online groups for partners. I'm talking with Karen Rellos, and she has a website, redeeming-love.com. You can read about her story, and I'm sure she'd be more than happy to help you find a group that fits your need. I mean, she's made it her mission to do that. We have three partners on, all from her groups, and they're here to share their story with you so that you'll know that there's extra support out there. So, again, that website is redeeming-love.com. So, Karen, I have a couple of extra questions for you, and then you can direct anything you want to share to the women that you've worked with. I mean, obviously, the group work in and of itself has helped you to help multiple people at one time. And we have this saying about groups that when a woman does her work in group, all the other women benefit. And that's one of the virtues of group. Can you share other blessings that group support has offered for partners of betrayal?
Sure. Well, I mean, you've heard a lot already, but there's just, you know, there's a lot of things we process. And sometimes, you know, we have a workbook, but generally it's been, it seems to just, you know, as far as my groups go or whatever, that it has just been more of topic-based each week. And it's just, you know, we've worked through, you know, usually you start out with the grief and, again, the education of what betrayal trauma is. And, you know, where they are in that, because obviously I would, you know, refer partners, you know, to, I help them find CSAT therapists and an ABSAT therapist in their area. You know, I'm on board to do that too. I mean, I've been known to be called, I have a name of information station because I love resources. I mean, I'm just a resource junkie. And so I pour out those resources into every one of my girls. You know, I love them. And that's why Anne said, I love you, Carol. She knows you well because she, you know, she listens and, like, just, you know, Dr. Sherry Keffer's book, Intimate Deception, and Barbara Steffens, Your Sex with Your Spouse, and Jake Porter, you know, Therapeutic Disclosures, Janice Cottle. Like, I just, you know, put all those, you know, resources pertaining to them. I'll reach out to people if I don't know something, you know, like I did with some of the pastor's wives and things that I wasn't as familiar with. Also intimacy anorexia, that's, you know, I've been doing training with Dr. Doug Weiss, and that's sort of a whole new piece that we talk about, because after maybe their spouse has had some sobriety, but that doesn't mean full recovery, right? So we talk a lot about that coupleship. And then also, you know, my husband John, and you know John Carroll, he's been on the show. That he also, you know, he's a Braveheart certified mentor, and he also has a men's ministry. And so sometimes when the partner's sexual addicted, you know, husband is willing to do some work or is willing to talk, my husband will also do that. And we also do coupleship work as well. But as far as the back to the partners in the groups, you know, we work through triggers and grounding tools. you know, working through anger. And a lot of times, too, a big piece with the boundaries is non-sexual. You know, they're not ready to be, right, to be intimate again and learning to have their voice in that and learning to, you know, tell their husband, right, be assertive enough to let them know that they're not safe enough to engage in, you know, sexual intimacy with their spouse. And, you know, learning that connection and, you know, I have them rate themselves where they are on grief and have feeling wheels and, you know, yeah, who is safe for them. And, you know, I also put out there a lot of coaching questions. That's why I love the group me as well, because I said, kind of like the girls will tell you all of them, I kind of throw out questions there for them to reflect and ponder or journal about to, you know, for them to reach their own, right, their own decisions and answers. And again, the group is just a place to bring it all back in and to process and get that validation and, you know, and affirmations mm-hmm. of, you know, of their truth and their experience that, and trusting their gut, you know, and just building themselves in that core. And like Brittany had shared, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's gaslighting and there's the Darvo thing happening. And, you know, and I mean, I have some girls where they didn't even realize they were, you know, sexually abused until they were in a group. And so it's just been a great place to see the truth. And a lot of talk on getting off the crazy train of, you know, of a healthy detachment and what they're responsible for and what they're not responsible for, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, and there's just so many blessings in that. And like, Brittany was in the first group where they actually gave me the name Miss Doula, which, you know what a doula is, right? You know, she helps with childbirth, right? And that they, mm-hmm. We would do a lot of talk about, like, you know, in the faith piece of it, you know, there's a birthing, there's a burden, then the birthing, and then the breakthrough. And so kind of like childbirth, right? It's sort of this in the season of pain and waiting in a sense, but also working and breathing, right? Like childbirth that, so I was given the name Miss Doula, which I love. And we have laughed and joked and, like, you know, had, Lisa can tell you stories of just, you know, things where, you know, my husband called her husband, and, you know, anyway, just scared her husband. And it just, but we were laughing and talked about having bags at retreats, you know, funny names on them, and just an amazing sisterhood. And I have had the honor to meet each of these girls, and they don't live near me. You know, might be in my state, a couple of them, but they don't live near me. And it's just been amazing that I've had the honor to meet these amazing women. They have forever changed my life. I have one who is, like, works for me with, like we'll do some, like if I need some worksheets and things. So she, mm-hmm. She's doing that. Like, and she is, you know, also in the middle of, early divorce. She was in Brittany's group early on, and there's been some tough things too. I've had to call CPS. There's been close to, you know, needing to call suicide hotline. I mean, there has been some heavy stuff. And
well, and you know, again, though, I gotta stop here real quick, because mm-hmm. one of the sure. things I want our listening audience to know is that the beautiful thing about online groups is that you can go to appsats.org and look up Karen Rillos or other mm-hmm. coaches or therapists that run these groups and handpick them based on information about them. And especially with coaching, you know, we've got clinicians that do the mental health stuff, and we've got coaches that really help you take your life to the next level and have niches. Now, Karen just mentioned she's had to deal with some suicidal clients. And what we know at APSATS is that we need specialized training to help women in trauma. We need to know mm-hmm. how to get them to the right resources. And Karen is a resource consultant, if you will. She gets people
to where they need to be to stay safe. And Karen, you know, Barbara Steffens' most famous quote is finding safety in an unsafe situation.
Unsafe
and
world.
Groups are safety, aren't they? They are, you know, when you say we're laughing and we're having fun, I mean, it really allows the partner to feel like there is hope, strength, and recovery for her.
Yep. And when they don't have hope, somebody else is holding it for her, honestly. And that's been, and there was one night too, and Anne could tell you that when I was sleeping, one of the gals was in Canada and she happened to be up and, you know, Anne was in a mini crisis or whatever, going through something, you know, that was, you know, that she needed support for. And one of the gals hopped on and they, you know, they went on like through, you know, throughout the night. And it was so amazing to see that support. And I think they even had an emergency, like, Zoom call. I told them they could use my – I couldn't be on the call or whatever, so I gave them my Zoom stuff, and they all jumped on and supported, I think it was Anne, you know,
yes.
in what she was going through.
I love that. And, you know, that is really true. One of the things I say as a therapist is I'll look at somebody and I'll say, I don't want to treat you in a vacuum, and I'm not available for you at 3 a.m. in the morning. And if I put you in a group, you're likely going to have lifelines that will be there for you through thick and thin. And that is the power of a group. So now I'm mm-hmm. going to ask each woman, because we've got about 5 minutes, I'm going to start with Anne. Anne, would you share a one-minute story about what group has done for you in general?
Yes. Okay. So it's been just like Karen mentioned, you know, it was the middle of the night, you know, crisis had hit and, you know, where else could you get that kind of support? There's no way. There's no, like, I mean, we can go to counseling, we can go to therapy, which is very important also, but this is just a different kind of support. And I think it's so important for partners to know that they're not alone in this. So just having that support and having that extra call with Lisa and our other partner that joined us on the last minute call. I mean, it wasn't scheduled. They took time out of their busy day to pray over me, to pray over my husband. That's another thing about our group is that we don't bash our husbands. You know, it's something where everybody can feel safe and we can be encouraged. And there's no shame. Shame is gone here. So if you want to feel safe, if you want to feel empowered, then please do yourself a favor, do your family a favor, and join a group, no matter where you are in recovery.
I love it. I love that. Okay, thank you. How about Brittany?
I think one of my favorite things we've done in our group, okay, is we went through our values, and we identified what was important to us and how are we living our values, or what do we need to change to get to that point in our lives where we can be proud of the lives that we're living and knowing that what we value is how we're living. And, I mean, Karen even went through and made little, like, graphics for us with all of our individual values and posted them for us to all see each other's, and I've reflected on that a lot.
And values are so important, and I'm really glad that you brought those up, because that is a coaching principle that we all get really authentic and honest about what values we want in our life and how do we live them out, especially if they've been violated by a sex addict. So I appreciate you bringing up that values are an important thing to look at in group. All right, and I think, Lisa, I haven't asked you yet.
Yes.
What do you think is the most important, well, not necessarily the most important thing, but something you want our listening audience to know about groups?
Well, to find a group like this is to give yourself the opportunity to meet others who will share their pain, but also their hope and their faith with you in equal measure, and will give you someone to pour that into as well. And to have others rely on me during this dark time in my life has also been really good for me. It's not just about what I get from them, but the fact that I have people who rely on me that I can give to as well. And you'll find all of that in one of these groups.
Feel amazing there, girl. Feel amazing there.
I love them. Well, I feel like we've kind of had our own little group today, and I'm so glad that the rest of the world could be a part of this and be listening. Karen, you know, again, you do such amazing work, and you've mentioned a lot about God, and God is very, very important to you. What would you tell a woman if she doesn't necessarily have a God or a higher power? Can she still get help from groups?
Absolutely. And I'm not exclusive to, you know, like, oh, you can't join a group because you're not a believer. That's absolutely not, you know, not me at all. Anyone is welcome. And I would hope I would show, you know, love to her. I have had them, just so you know, too. You know, so I don't want to, you know, come off as like, oh, yeah, you have to be Christian to join my group, because that's not true. But that they are, you know, God is talked about, shall I say. But at the same time, not spiritualized, you know, over-spiritualized either. So I want to be clear about that, too. Yeah, we deal with, you know, the real problems. But anyway, I would still encourage her if the values and, you know, and hope and her heart and her needs and her feelings and her grief and what support looks like to her. And that I, you know, would still walk alongside of her. I mean, I love my girls just the same. I have some that I coach one-on-one, and they're just as amazing. They're just everything. It's just, you know, it just looks a little different, but that support and that need is the same. And that, you know, that they find that strength and their need for safety and stability, right? And ultimately find hope and healing and, you know, and start to vision. And even in, I know you have to go, but in Brittany's group, we did even our own little secret Pinterest board. And we put, you know, little hopes and dreams. And they all showed their little areas of, like, their little creative areas of where they like to create and, you know, and the things they love to do. And, yep, been a wonderful blessing.
To keep them focused on themselves as well as their relationships. Ladies, thank you so much for joining the show today. And I want to remind our listening audience, if you want to find out more about Karen, she can be reached at karen@restored-hope.coach. So you ladies continue to make a difference in the world, and I really admire you.
And they're doing what you always say. You know what? Be your best self, right? Be your best you. That's what these beautiful women are doing. And I'm grateful.
You got it.
To have met them through out of our pain. Thank you, Carol.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing about groups, and hopefully we'll talk with you further. Make it a good day.
Bye.
Bye. That was Karen, Brittany, Lisa, and Anne, and they're all here to talk about obviously the importance of group and what can make a difference in the lives of people. And so I really appreciate them coming on today. And as I say at the end of every show, I bet you can recite this now, there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And we'll see you next week.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.